I want you to turn in your Bibles. I think that first we will go to, let's go to Acts chapter 3, and I've got about three or four scriptures I'm going to show you this morning. You may remember when, the first time that I'd heard the phrase was when Sarah Palin was running to be vice president with John McCain, I think. And one of the phrases she used was, because they weren't wanting to drill for oil in America. And she used the phrase, drill, baby, drill. So I want to use that as my title this morning, drill, baby, drill. And you'll know what I mean by the time we're finished. Now, most of us in this room, some of the kids out there and some of you youth, may not have been born in 2001. But most of us have witnessed two major historical events in our lifetime or in the last couple of decades. And it came from enemies within and without. And when the enemy came in planes and took down the World Trade Centers, we were flabbergasted. The administration was just absolutely shocked. Everybody was in shock around the world, and President Bush just set all the planes down in a moment. Things just happened just like that. The second time the enemy hit us from without, and that was with the pandemic COVID, and it hit, and it changed our lives. Both of them did. I mean, after 9/11, my goodness, you couldn't go into the hospital without being frisked. I would go in to see somebody and they'd use their magic wand and go up and down you like you were a criminal. And I went to one of the Capitol buildings. And while I was there, again, it was like, put your bag over here. You couldn't even go to a normal courthouse. Check the bag, the airport. Everything changed in America as we knew it. And then COVID. My goodness, the hospital. Sarah was just telling me at the cancer center, they have just now been able to take their mask off. After 2 weeks ago on Monday, they took their mask off and they celebrated. They were so excited to get rid of the mask. We remembered when the children didn't have to wear masks at school. I had to go to Santa Barbara the other day for just a yearly checkup. And while I was there, my doctor is so sweet. She's a dermatologist. And I had never seen her mouth before. It's like you really didn't know what people looked like. And I said, doctor, I knew you had pretty eyes, but now look at those beautiful teeth. Look at that beautiful smile. And she said, that's right, you've never seen me. And I said, nope. I started going in 2020. And I had never seen her before. So things were changed by these two major events that hit us. But there is a scripture in the book of Galatians that makes us most happy and full of hope that says, be not deceived. God is not what? He's just not. He won't be mocked. He will not let China mock him. He will not allow those who flew in those planes and took lives. He will not allow COVID just to come in and kill the saints in the church and people all over the place. I mean, over 1 million, I think, people died. But God said, I won't be mocked. I will have the last word. Now, let me tell you, what I'm about to read you is going to happen. No one can stop it when God has a plan. Listen, nobody can stop God's plan. The little song we just sang. When God builds this house, nobody can tear it down. And when he has a plan, his plan's going to go forward. No one can stop it. No one can thwart it. No one can delay it. You say, well, it's, you know, I'm wondering if he's delaying. No, he isn't delaying. Nothing can stop it. It will be carried out. So let's read Acts 3:19. I could read some scriptures around it, but I want to get right to the point because I have some important things I want to give you. I believe this is very prophetic, but I want you to look at Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. be converted, don't just come down and say, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. No, be changed, be converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out so that times, somebody said times with an S, so that times of refreshing may come from where? Read it from where? That's where times of refreshing come from. Comes from the presence of the Lord. You know what he said, that we go from faith to faith and strength to strength and glory to glory? Those are times of refreshing. And he said they come from the presence of the Lord. And how do we get into the presence of the Lord? It really isn't hard. How do you get into the presence of your children? You call little Billy, Billy, and he comes to you. How do you get into the presence of Robert, Melody? You say, Robert, and Robert just comes running. Yes, dear. Oh, you follow him around. Okay. Well, anyway. But that's how we get into the presence of the Lord. We don't have to beg him. We don't have to keep on and on and on. We don't have to praise it down for 3 hours. We say, Jesus. And he is with us. And he said, times of refreshing come like that. And I want to tell you right now, we are in for a big refreshing course. See, we're reading the book of Acts right now. And we know what happened there. I mean, you're talking about a refreshing. You're talking about a reformation. You talk about an outpouring. It came there. But I'm glad that Peter wrote this part, because it meant, and as the commercials on TV say, and that's not all. But wait, that's not all. There's more to come. And there's more times of refreshing. And we're going to be able to see this. And let me tell you something. Everything will be changed as the world knows it. See, it was changed as we know it, because the enemy wanted to do damage to us and wanted to take us out and tear down everything and all the plans of God. But when God comes in like this in times of refreshing, he said, let me change a few things for them. They will not be known as they are known. The little things that they did and all the funsy things they had to destroy, he says, let me put a little mockery and embarrassment upon them. Psalms chapter 1 says that one day God will laugh at their calamity. Now, you want God laughing with you and having a good time with you. You don't ever want him to laugh at you. But one day, he will laugh at the calamity of this mess. I said, Lord, when you come to Porterville and you come to the great outpouring on Olive Street, which I don't need any prophet, I don't need anyone to come in here and tell me that's going to happen. I already know that. See, I know it, Teresa, in my heart. I've known it since I was a little girl. And so, I look at Asbury College, and I looked at Pensacola, and I looked at Azusa Street, and I look at all these places, and the airport up in Toronto, Canada, all these places where the glory came in. And some of them are huge places. And I'm thinking, okay, God, we got this little barn out there on the corner of Westwood and Olive. We don't have room for anything. Yeah, we don't have enough room. Even for overflow, we only got 6 acres out here. It won't hold everybody if they came here like they did to some of those places. And he said, did you ever hear any of those preachers or any of the evangelists or any, did you read any Amy Semple McPherson books? Did you ask John Kilpatrick when you had him here? Did you ask anybody if I asked them how big their building was before I came? He said, I won't ask you how big the building is. It doesn't matter to me. Kathy and I stood in the upper room in Jerusalem where the glory came in. It wasn't very big. It was only about a quarter of this sanctuary. But that's where it came, and I'm still talking about it today, 2,000 years later. It changed the course of everything. It changed the culture of the time. You say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure all this can change a culture. Oh, no, you just sit there and watch. It's going to happen. They won't know what hit them. And you know what else? We won't either. We've never seen anything like this. He said, no eye has seen, no tongue could tell, no ears heard, no eye has seen what I'm getting ready to do. But let me tell you what's going to happen when we begin to see these kind of miracles, and I mean notable miracles. They're already seeing them in Missouri at the James River Church. The lady had three toes grow back, documented. Wayne Neal saw it. And I believe that when our young people, you know, it seems to be hitting the young people in colleges and universities. We need the passion of the young people, but they need us older folks. They need us for our experience. And what little wisdom we have, they need us. We need each other. We need them. But I believe, remember the blind man, the young man that Jesus healed, and he was totally blind. Jesus touched him, and then he could see. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the magistrates came after him and said, who did that to you? Do you think he was the Messiah? You know what the young man said? I don't know. I have no idea who that man was. I haven't followed him. I don't really know him. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. And I believe in this hour, there'll be people that you will lay hands on at Walmart or at the bank or at the post office. And they'll say, where did that happen? They say, I don't know. Well, what do they believe? It may be somebody from a total different church. Yeah, well, those people, yeah. I don't know. I think they went down to Landmark or they went over there to Believers or they went to Nazarene. I don't know. I don't really care. But what do they believe? I don't know. All I know is I had cancer and now I don't. That's all I know. I needed a miracle. And I got a miracle. Woo. So he's not asking any questions, church. But he's just starting to invade America. He's invaded these other countries. We've had evangelists go to other countries. And he's just walked into the crowd, raised the dead, did everything. And we in America are saying, why does it happen there and not happen here? But now they're coming to America to evangelize America. But God said, I'll just come in and do it myself. Would you look with me at Isaiah 66 and 9? Let me verify just a little bit more here. See, when God comes in, like we're talking about, and invades a place, as he has. In fact, one of the pastors at Asbury University said, we should have been the last place that God came to. We were so far away from God. We were doing our thing. We didn't know what was going on. And he just came in that day. He just came into chapel. And chapel was just a part of a ritual. But he came in and the kids just fell out on the floor and began to cry out to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. It's just like when Peter was in jail. And the angel woke him up and he walked out the first set of doors and God shut the eyes of the guards that were there. And then they went out the second set of doors and then they came to a set of steel doors. The Bible said they came to a set of steel doors. You know what happened? The Bible says that those doors opened of their own accord. Just like walking into Save Mart. Those electric doors, they just open on their own accord. When God comes in, he just does things the way he wants it because we've not been doing a very good job. So he says, let me take care of it. So we're saying, good God, come on. Isaiah 66, verse 9. Again, we could read the scriptures around it after you get home. You'll get the fullness, but I just want to give you verse 9. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God. He is not going to do that. He is not going to bring a child to delivery or to birth and not deliver it. He delivered Jesus. He's delivered reformations. He's delivered revivals. And he will deliver this child. Amen? In the book of Revelation, it calls the last hour, the last day, the last revival, it calls it a child. And it says the demons stand over here on the side just waiting for that child to be born so they could devour him. And they tried to devour Jesus as soon as he was born. Well, that didn't work. And now they're going to try to prevent him from coming back. I think they know they can't prevent him from coming back. So what will they do, church? They will try to prevent us from going after him and serving him. That's what they will do. So that's why I'm bringing you this message this morning. It's full. Let me tell you, in case you don't know about Landmark, Landmark is dedicated to the love of God. That's about as big and deep as it gets. We are dedicated to his love and to his Holy Spirit and to his name. We carry his name. We are carriers. We're carriers. I was talking to my little granddaughter the other day about, she says, Nana, when you got married, you had to change your name. Did you want to change your last name? And I said, yeah, baby, I was ready to change my name to my husband's name. We change. Ladies, our names go to our husband. And we move away from that maiden name and take on a brand new name. And when we got saved, we took on another name. We took on the name of Jesus. And we walk and live and move and we operate under that name. We cannot just walk carelessly however we want. You know that little plastic advertisement guy that stands 20 feet up in the sky and they're advertising a new business or a birthday party and he just wiggles all over? He doesn't have anything in him. We don't even need to be doing that. We operate with the power of the Spirit within us and the name of God. We cannot just... Parker saw one of those advertising Chipotle when they were going to open. He was only about 5. He says, Nana, that thing right there does not have Jesus in his heart. He is so loose. You know, you got to teach your kids. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, look at Matthew 25. Somebody say, drill, baby, drill. Oh yeah, God's not going to bring this thing to birth and then not deliver it. How many knows he's going to deliver it? Do you know how long you've been pregnant and carrying this baby? I said, Lord, I'm about to pop. I've carried this baby for so long, I'm way overdue. He said, don't talk to me about overdue. I know where you're at. See, we are never overdue, and we're never premature. We're never premature. Oh, you say, oh, I know, God's never premature. Well, he's never late either. It's just we get all worked up. All right, let's go to Matthew 25. You're going to look at these first few words, and you're going, oh, Pastor, do you know how many times I've read? Well, we're going to read it again. 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened, Jesus speaking, of course, written in red. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Just a picture of the way it's going to be when Jesus comes back. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took how much oil? Took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Now look, they all, the wise and the foolish, had the same opportunity. Same opportunity. They were all allowed to sleep and slumber and kick back and lay back and rest and have a good time. They could all do that. But it says, while they slumbered and while they slept, verse 6 then says, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose up and they trimmed their lamps, all of them, all 10. Both the wise and foolish, verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. Now, when I was younger, a young girl, I just thought this was kind of rude. Verse 9 says, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. So you go rather to those who sell and you buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and they shut the door. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, let us in. Open to us. But he said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. He goes, you don't know, because I don't know when I'm coming back. The angels don't know. Only my Father knows, and he will give me the signal to go. But nobody knows. While they all slumbered and slept, I've got a feeling America was sleeping on 9/11. The authorities were in a sleepy mode and got a little careless that America's so powerful and so strong that we'll always be just fine. We just thought when COVID came, it was just a passing fancy, and it would go away and blow over and give us no trouble. And yet, look what happened. Jesus had some disciples that came to him in another place in Matthew, and they said, Jesus, there's people out there. They are so terrible. They don't know what they believe, and they are cursing you, and they're teaching falsehoods and false doctrine, and they're false teachers and false prophets. You want us to go burn their house down? And Jesus said, oh, see, they were all spiritual-minded, weren't they? Let us just go burn their houses down. And Jesus said, no, just let the tares grow up with the wheat. And the parable was this. They said, how did this happen that they sowed these tares among the wheat? And Therma, the Bible says, they said, while you slept. That's how they slipped in. We have to be careful, church, because if we get sleepy and lethargic in our spiritual heart and mind, then the enemy slips into your home, into your house with your kids, and you're wondering, how did that happen? And he's saying, you slumbered and slept, and while you were asleep, while you were messing around. And the Bible says that these foolish people, they woke up, and they had no oil. They took no oil in their lamp. All they took was a lamp. And it had no oil at all in it. Not to put anyone down. I mean, we should be bursting at the seams in here. We're not. So okay, I'm not talking about anything. But I'm saying there are churches that have beautiful lights, a beautiful show, beautiful programs, beautiful social media, beautiful this, beautiful that, programs for everybody and their dogs. The gathering, you all know that's just an old Southern saying. I don't mean that really. But dogs are starting to go to church more often, though. In the name of, I'm your handicap keeper. The thing is, they got all that, but where's the refreshing? Where's the oil? Do they have oil in the lamp? Is there holiness? Is there any? How do we get to a place where the body of Christ at times doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil, between holiness and unholiness? How did we get there that so many don't even know the difference? Could it be because they have the lamp? Oh, I went to church. I asked Jesus to come in, and that's all I need. But they didn't get any oil in their lamp. They didn't ask for the furtherance of the Holy Spirit to come in and fill them up. Well, when they went to ask Jesus, could they go in as the wise went in? Jesus didn't even know them. Listen, he did not recognize them without the oil. He has oil, church. We have so much available to us. It's ours. We all have the same opportunity. Black, white, brown, rich, poor, socially poor, socially abundant. I mean, we've all got the same thing available to us. He is not a respecter of persons. He don't care. Look at the foolish. They had no oil. And that's the problem in the lazy church today and in America, is we have all other things to substitute. I have a lamp. I have a little light, but I have no oil. Let me just kick over here into the natural for a moment, because all truths run parallel. And sometimes if we understand the natural, we understand the spiritual better. Remember that we have lots of oil in America, they tell us. We have lots of oil in Alaska, in Texas, Bakersfield. We have oil in this rich land of ours. And our president, our new president, our new administration, cut off the pipeline. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but my daddy would say, they just shut her down. She shut it down. So, now, we have the oil underneath the ground, but America, Mr. President Reagan said that shining city on a hill. We're a shining city without oil in our lamps. There is no oil. No oil. And yet it's there. It's underneath. We've got the pipes all laid, but no oil. And America is hurting because we don't have that oil that's available to us. And the worst part is they're buying this dirty oil from the enemy. Who would have ever thought? We never would dream it possible that we would buy oil from Venezuela or Russia or wherever they're getting it from. And it's dirty oil where ours was clean. They're buying oil from the enemy. We got oil down here, but they ignore it. Church, maybe we should say, Holy Spirit, please help me. I'm sorry that I've ignored your oil that's available to me. Please forgive me for ignoring you. Oh, church, I want all the oil that I have. And then some. I want more and more and more and more, more oil. You know why? It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from heaven. But there's days where I'm very strong. And then there's days where I'm weak. And the days where you feel powerful and days where you don't. Days where you have to try to keep your head above water. Days where you're fighting off the enemy of depression or oppression. We all do it because we're the children of God and there's a real enemy that despises us. This is why we must have the oil. You must have it to get away, give away. Now let me give you another truth. All these classified documents. They just found one very important one to give the enemy information. Just out there, put it on the internet, some 21-year-old Air Force man that they trusted. You got to watch who you hang with. You got to be careful who you listen to talking inside your mind when you're by yourself. Do not believe his lies. Another reason you need this oil. What? Classified documents in the president's little classic Corvette? Are you kidding me? Down at this center and that center and this center and that center all over the place. But ignore that. But hit on the president who had them behind lock and key in a safe and had guards around it. Go after that dude. Don't say anything to the guy working with the enemy. Oh, some of you are going to get mad. You say, hey, I'm never coming back to this church again. I'm just saying, church. This is a wild time. I mean, this is not just the wild, wild west. It's wild, wild America. So I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, hey, they want to play with classified documents? Wait until you all start dropping some of my classified documents. They don't know about this, man. They're just going to find it laying in the floor. It's just going to come out of you one day. You're talking to your business partner. And all of a sudden, a piece of this classified document just falls out. Just falls right out at his feet. And you're like, ooh, dude, ooh, I didn't, ooh. Really? Wow. I mean, there's people that's really ignorant of this stuff, you guys. I mean, just plain old ignorant. They don't know. They don't even know the Lord is my shepherd. Whether you're male or female, he's your shepherd. He said, I don't want you to want for anything, man. I want you prosperous. I want you blessed. I want your soul to prosper. And as D said, as your soul prospers, then you prosper more and more and more. And you have the favor of the Lord upon you. But he has something. And I want to tell you, these documents are getting ready to be leaked all over the world. I mean powerful documents. You'll hear it coming out of Washington, D.C. You'll hear it coming out of CNN. You'll hear it coming out of Fox News. Oh, we already do hear some of these things because God said, I will not be what? No, he's not going to be. But I just want to ask you. I heard the Lord say this to me this morning. I had a few minutes between putting on my Tammy Faye makeup and doing my Dolly Parton hair. I had a few minutes. So I went and got in my secret place. And I sat with the Lord and I said, Lord, this is really a good message, Lord. This is just so good. I love it. It's just good. Yeah. You know what I think? I think he said, yeah, it is. Because I gave it to you. Had nothing to do with you, little girl. My God. But the question came to me, ask my people, are they borrowing any oil from the enemy of this world or the enemy of the church? Have they borrowed anything to give them peace of mind? Have they borrowed anything? Just remind them that I have such fresh oil. My oil is so fresh. It's not dirty like Venezuela oil. Not dirty like Russia. This is clean. This is the clean kind. Tell them they don't need to borrow from anybody, Daddy. You didn't borrow from anybody to believe God for the healing when you got breast cancer. You kept your head up, your shoulders back, and your kids do nothing but praise you, Mama, because of the leaky documents that are in you. And the oil. Oil changes everything for us. And I'm not interested in a church without it. I'm just not. One evangelist told me sometimes ago, said, Paulette, you'll never have a big church. I said, really? Why? They said, because you tell all these things you shouldn't say and you make people mad. So, but I still rather have an oily church. And I don't mean just with the anointing oil. I could just anoint you so much with oil that you're so slippery, you could just slide right out the door. And it wouldn't bless you one bit. But Jesus, he's not drawn to songs. He's not drawn to music. He's not even drawn to preaching. He's not drawn to dancing and all the good things that we have in the church. He's not drawn to any of that. He's not even drawn to some worship. But he is drawn to oily songs. Oily songs, Chris, that have that anointing on them. And oily worship. And oily preaching. And oily worship. No, he's drawn to you when you say, Lord, I don't know what to do with their oil. Because, man, the world offers a lot. They offer a lot. But Jesus said, oh, no, I'm going away, but I am giving you my peace. Not the peace that the world gives. Because he knew they gave peace. He said, oh, no. They have some peace. But no, my peace is different than that. Our nation needs oil, literal oil. But our nation needs spiritual oil. Our family needs oil. Your family needs oil. Our children need oil. Our grandchildren need oil. Our marriages need oil. Our businesses, our world, our schools. We all need the oil of gladness and the oil Hallelujah. Of the Spirit of God. And God knows it. And I pray that Landmark will be a spiritual well on this little corner of our world in Porterville. That the whole oil of the Holy Spirit in us, church, and I mean the entire body of Christ. I wouldn't be foolish enough just to say one church. The entire body of Christ around the globe. See, this will hit the entire globe just like COVID did. It'll go around the world. Yeah. Just before Jesus comes, he's not coming. He is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. So he's got to come help us clean up a little bit because we are a mess. Oh, y'all are all holy. I'm the only mess in the house. I'm just kidding. I know you're a mess too. But it's the oil of the Holy Spirit in us. It's the only thing that'll change this culture. The only thing. We don't see it changing, but believe me, we will. But we've got to carry our own. You can't go borrow from somebody else. Can I have some of your oil? Oh, you know what? You know how to do it. Can I, you know, would you pray? Would you pray for my child? No, you pray for them. Yeah. You get your own oil. Oh, I got enough, man. I've got to take care of my own kids. Got to take care of my own mess. No, you use your own oil. Right. You selfish thing, you. No, go ahead. Hallelujah. One last thing I want to tell you. In the Old Testament, you know it. They poured, there's so many places I could go. They poured oil into wounds, open wounds that didn't look like they would ever heal. They would pour oil, my brother, into those wounds and it would heal them. And I want to tell you today, church, we've got to take our religious masks off. And I pray that we will be so, so loving and so full of oil that people in the crowd can come up and show us their ugly, oh, nasty, open wounds of where they've been, what they've done, and we love them so much. We'll just all get up there and pour oil into that wound and heal it up and heal that nasty-looking wound. Ah. That's what he wants. Man, I don't want us to criticize them. I would never criticize you and put you down and make you feel bad because of where you've been and what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, and who you did it to. I don't care. Because Jesus don't care. He just says, pour the oil and wine in. Just go ahead and pour it in. We have fresh oil in this house for every person because of Jesus. Won't judge you or be critical to you. But hallelujah. And it's okay to have pretty buildings. It's okay to have beautiful singing. It's okay to have beautiful worship. It's a beautiful thing to have it all. Just have the oil too. Just keep the oil. James River Church has over 10,000 people, but man, they got the oil too and the glory of God. Woo, he's pouring it out. And I'll tell you this, God has that pure 100% virgin oil that he pours into us. And we carry his name and his Holy Spirit and his love and his word and his classified documents and his oil. It's all in you, church. And the Holy Spirit has come to empower us. He empowers you. He said it won't be you that speaks, but your Father in heaven. Every now and then I'll have somebody come in to see me and they're going to before the judge or going to a court. And they know they messed up. They probably deserve what's coming. They told me that. But I take them over to Mark. And then I take them to Luke. And it says this, when you stand before magistrates and you stand before the judge, don't you premeditate what you should say. You just speak what the Lord gives you. And it will be your Father that speaks and not you. Somebody say amen. Stand on your feet with me today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we've got the documents. We have the oil. But maybe some of us in this house, maybe some don't have the oil yet. They said, my Lord, hallelujah. Where did my watch go? Did somebody find it? Okay, just keep it, D. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, eyes closed, please. Whoo, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what I got, Father? You just don't want us borrowing anything that the world has. We live in it. We have to buy. Lord, and there's a lot of good folks in the world. There's a lot of good things. You said you live in it, but you're not of it. We can't be of it, but we live in it. And I'm thankful for everything we have. Thankful for what some of the things the world gives. But don't be borrowing their things that would bring peace to you. Because that's nothing but a substitute. And it'll get you in trouble. And if you borrow what the world has, he may not recognize you when he comes back. Now, we all sleep and we all slumber. And we all get a little lazy sometimes in our Christian experience. We know that. But he said, I don't want to see that in you. Because this day's upon us, Jesus. I'm just going to present your people to you. And I want to ask you today, by the uplifted hand, if you say, Pastor, I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord, and I know it. It just seems like I'm constantly borrowing from the world because I don't feel like I got it from God. And you know what my theory is? Is if you don't get it at the altar, you're going to get it somewhere. But it's a dangerous thing to borrow it from the world because you can get it at his altar, in your home, in the car. But there's something somebody said earlier about gathering yourself together in the house of the Lord. We're here together. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. I want him to recognize me when he comes back. And I'm borrowing stuff all the time. I'm borrowing oil. I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of being up and down and in and out and over there a little, over here a little. Pull the lights down just a tad. Just give somebody a little more privacy. I'm going to ask you if you lifted your hand or you didn't and you want to, come down here with me. Come on down here with me and meet me right here. Don't be embarrassed. Please don't. You don't need to go home the way you came. This is why I brought this message. Come on. You were bold enough to lift your hand. It doesn't mean you're some bad, bad person. It just means that you're a delightful person. You say, God, I want all you can give me. I'm just going to take all the oil I can get. Man, we got to have it, church. We have to have the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. We've been given the oil of joy for the oil of mourning. Maybe some of you are still grieving, you're still worried about something. Do you know he doesn't even want you to worry? Over and over and over, he said, do not worry. Do not worry. I care for the little birds that the boys shoot out of the tree. Don't worry about anything. I will add to you things that you have need of. Seek the kingdom first. That's what you're doing. That's why you're here, Rosalind Brittany. You're seeking his kingdom first. And he said, if you seek me first, then I'll take care of all the rest of the stuff at home. I'll take care of it. And I'll add the things that need to be added. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Listen, nobody has to know what's going on here. I'll tell you why. Because God knows. God says, I see the whole thing, Ariel. You don't have to tell one person. God knows. But you said, look, I'm going to make it right today, and I'm going to get my oil. I'm going to get what's coming to me. Lift your hands with me right now where you are. I want us all to pray the same prayer. First, let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I love you, and I need you. I have borrowed from the world. I've tried my best. I worry and I stress. And sometimes I get upset. And I do not know what I'm going to do. But I need you. My pastor told me that I could have your oil. Then give me my oil. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and live with me forever. In Jesus' name, I receive my oil. Now just lift your hands and praise him. Father, do a mighty work in these that stand before you today. Father, we need so much more. We need more, Lord. If some of you that know how to pray want to come down here and stand behind some of these, please come in Jesus' name. Father, do as you have said. Classified documents are in you, honey. Classified documents. Oh, yes. Satan, you're a liar and the father of lies. He's been lying to you, Kenny. Lying. But the oil is upon you. Hallelujah. Woo. Father, we bless. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do a mighty work, a brand new thing. A brand new thing. Touch Papa, Lord. Touch Granddad in Jesus' name. Do a mighty work. Lord, let it be sealed today. Seal the deal. Let the oil flow. Let the rivers flow. Woo, let the rivers flow. In Jesus' name, you lying spirit, you lying devil. Do a brand new and mighty work within him. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I bless this couple. Oh, for a new season, you guys. A new season. In Jesus' name. Fill their cup with oil. Fill their lamp with oil, Lord. Fill it with oil. Fill it up. Woo! Receive your oil. Receive your oil. Ah, receive. Receive. It's for you. It's for you. It belongs to you, little girl. It belongs to you in the name of Jesus. Oil for her. More than enough oil. More than enough oil for you, Rusty. You don't have to borrow from the world. Not one more day. Not one more day. Not one more day. Fill her up, Lord. Fill her up. Fill her up. Woo. Hallelujah. Fill it full. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's up from here, honey. It's up from here. Up from here. Hallelujah.
Christ is risen. Bow down before Him.
Oh, bow down before Him.
For He is Lord of all.
Sweet Jesus.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah. I want to anoint you all with oil. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fill my blood. Fill me with oil. Fill it with oil in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A new day, honey. New day. New day. Robert, come on. Where's Lucy today? I miss her. All is well. Okay. In Jesus' name. God, do something brand new. Make Him a witness to the world. A witness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo!
Oh, come to.
Would you all lift your hands out there and just give Him thanks and praise? Lord, thank You that You have heard us today. Release the oil upon us, Lord. Your timing is everything. You have spoken to us today, and we receive this word with gladness. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't care if anyone knows our name, but we're glad You know our name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lynn, do you know that song? Give me a C, brother. He knows my name. Do you know that? Oh, how He talks with me. It's just C and F. Oh, how He walks with me. Let's start over. He knows my name, F. He knows my name. He knows it, church. He knows my name. And I'm forgiven. And oh, how He talks with me. Think about it, church. Oh, how He walks with me. Oh, how He tells me that I am His own, and He knows my name. Say it, church. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. Hallelujah. Father, we're thankful. We give You praise. Come on, lift your hands and give Him praise with me out loud. If you don't know how to do it out loud, just say hallelujah. Just say bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Just tell Him thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I thank You for the oil. I thank You for Your oil. And He knows my name. Oh, I'm glad You do, Lord. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. Say it one more time. Oh, how You talk with me. And oh, how You walk with me. Oh, how You tell me that I am Your own. I am Your own. Why does He do that? Because He knows my
name. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Will the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you? May He turn His beautiful countenance towards you and give you peace. Keep you from all harm and all danger. Protect all that you and your family have. I bless you with health and wealth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you all for being at Landmark today. Try to find somebody you've not seen before and thank them for being here. In Jesus' name.